As we start tonight to introduce this, we're going to be attempting to look more at an overview here of what the broad view of what our task is spiritually that God has given to us as Christians. And I know that we will hear sometimes the idea put forth even by some of our brethren that once were a Christian. I think Brother Jan and I and maybe a few others in here a few years ago heard one of our brethren refer to the idea of Christians needing to do anything after they're becoming a Christian as really being something not just that's not necessary, but almost something that would be considered very much against what God would have us to do. What do you want us to do? Be a Christian? I think was the way that person put it. That was one of our brethren preaching that. The idea there was, well, once you become a Christian, there's nothing more you can do. You're a Christian. But that is a very shallow view of Christianity, if I can put it that way. That's how I would describe it. The Lord would describe that as being a having a lack of understanding of what Christianity is about. Do we need to become a Christian? Yes. Once we are a Christian, we are a Christian. But once we're a Christian and become a Christian, spiritually, as the Lord describes it, we are then a baby. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, when Jesus was answering Nicodemus, who came to him at night, he told Nicodemus what one has to do in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And he told him in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So we have to be born. We have to become alive to God to be able to enter the kingdom of God. Well, that should make sense. If we remain alienated from him by our wicked works, that is, in that state of spiritual death that we suffer as the wages of sin, if we are still separated from God by our sins, we're not a Christian then. We're not going to be able to enter into heaven one day. So we have to be born again of water and of the Spirit. We have to be baptized in water, immersed in water for the remission of our sins by obeying those commandments that were given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have to do certain things that God requires in order to become a Christian. But as Jesus describes it there, that's when we're born. And what are we when we're born? So we can see that the Lord looks at it more than just, well, you're either a Christian or not. The Lord also looks at it as, well, what state of a Christian are you in? Are you a newborn babe in Christ? Are you one that needs to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, which is what he commands in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? Or are you one that is in need to be taught again when we should be teachers ourselves, but remain babes in Christ like the ones in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, that he rebuked because they weren't growing, they were remaining babes in Christ? Did they think they could just be a Christian, or did they think that they should be a Christian? Whatever they were doing or whatever they were thinking, they were not growing in Christ, and the Lord wasn't pleased with them remaining a babe. And he was rebuking them for that. He was instructing them to grow, to go on to perfection, as he then goes on to the very next verse in Hebrews chapter 6, in verses 1 and 2. So the idea that we are to remain spiritual babes is a very wrong idea. It's a very false idea. It's contrary to what the Lord commands us to do. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 contains a commandment to grow. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are commanded to grow. He does not want heaven to be full of spiritual babies. We can do so much more for God and accomplish so much more. We can bear more fruit for him. And that's how we are his disciples. In John 15 and verse 8, we show that we are his true disciples by bearing much fruit. Well, he's working on and pruning us as the Lord of the vineyard when we are in Christ as a branch in Christ the vine. But he's pruning us and working with us so we can bear more fruit, because the more fruit we bear by growing spiritually, the more we glorify him. And God is worthy of all our glory, which we will only be able to give him by fulfilling his purpose in growing spiritually to be what he commands us to be filled with all the fullness of God, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be partakers of the divine nature. And so to be full grown to completion spiritually is the very purpose that God has for us. So if we have understanding, we're going to see that God has an overall purpose, and it's not for us to remain a new Christian as a babe. There's more than one kind of Christian, and we want to be the full grown kind. We want to be the kind that's complete. We don't want to be the kind that's incomplete. So we need that understanding then of God's purpose, and we need to understand what we're to grow in. So we don't want to be blind and think, well, there's just one thing we can do, either be a Christian or not. We want to fulfill the purpose of God and go on to spiritual completion as he commands us to do. Well, when we are physically a child, in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 15, there are certain characteristics of childhood. Now, children are upheld as an example by Christ of some very good qualities. They are, by nature, very humble and eager to believe when they are taught. And we need to have those qualities in us and humble ourselves as a little child to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus has taught us. But childhood is also known for things that will be an obstacle to us growing to our being able to grow spiritually. In Proverbs 22:15, he says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." So foolishness is characteristic of youth and childhood, and that needs to be driven out of a child. When we read Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, from verse 9 to chapter 12, verse 1, those three verses, the very end of Ecclesiastes 11, and the beginning of Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." So what is the characteristic of childhood or youth there? He says children tend to, those who are young, tend to walk in the ways of their heart and in the sight of their eyes. They want to do what they think is good for them to do, what gives them pleasure, what they enjoy doing, and not consider what is pleasing to God, what their maker would have them to do. But God, we're all going to be judged by God. And so in verse 10, he says, "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the ears draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So rather than following after vanity and foolishness as young people, he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So at what point should a person on this earth think about their Maker and begin to seek their Maker and seek their Maker with all of their heart, and then become one of his children, and then seek to be growing spiritually to be in the image of Christ? Well, that's not something to put off until we're older in years. Any children that learn that and start practicing that in their youth, they're going to be so far ahead of where they would otherwise be, and they will be given the opportunity by the Lord to be able to bear much fruit for his glory. So we can see that being a child and having pursuing foolishness and vanity, those are things that we need to put away. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, as we see that translated into what God's purpose is for us spiritually, do we need to continue to persist in childishness and foolishness and vanity, or do we need to put away those things, and do we need to be growing up in the Lord spiritually? Well, those things should be characteristic of our growing older in years, but we also need to see how that is very much at the heart of God's purpose for us. Well, let's consider his purpose as it pertains to our initial conversion to Christ, how we do become a Christian to start with. In Acts chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, Acts 3, 25 and 26, he says, "You're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Now that's going back to the very beginning of the first book of the Bible and what God first spoke to Abraham as his promise, that he was going to bless all nations of the earth through that seed, that singular descendant of Abraham's that would be God's son, Jesus Christ. And he was going to, Christ was going to bless all nations by turning all nations away from their iniquities. So that's something that God had foretold from there very early on in the first book of the Bible as his purpose that Christ would achieve, to turn mankind away from his iniquities. So we have to turn from that. And then in Romans chapter 11, 26 and 27, he says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." So we can see that God does not want us to persist in those things that we were caught up in our sins. He wants to turn us away from those things, to turn us away from them so that we will no longer practice those things. And then Galatians 3 verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Well, that's how we become a Christian. Again, as we saw in John 3, to be born of water and of the Spirit. That's how we enter into his kingdom. That's how we are added to his church. That's how we become a Christian. And so we have to turn away from that those iniquities in order to be able to obey the Lord. In Colossians 2, 6 through 13, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 13, he says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Well, we can see that that time of our conversion, the immersion in water, the burial that he describes there in that passage in Colossians 2, there that word is used in verse 12, being buried with him in baptism. Baptism is an immersion in water, but for that burial to, for God to work, that is the operation of God in that, for that to take place, we have to have that spiritual circumcision, that cutting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. That's the circumcision of Christ, the spiritual circumcision. The physical one of the Old Testament was a shadow of that, which we are to do and to be as Christians. Well, from that point, we have to run the Christian race. But we can see that beginning point, and it's really in our mind there at repentance. When our mind turns to the Lord and we have a change of mind, which is what the word repentance means, where we no longer have the will to do our own will. Our bulletin article today should be helpful to understand that, as that really explores the different parts of the inner man, and that our mind is where our will is, where we have that determination of what we are set to do. And before we're a Christian, it's to do our own will, to follow our own ways. To be a Christian, that will of our own has to be destroyed. It has to be crucified. We then have to have a new will, a will to do his will, the Lord's will, and that only. But that's the change of mind that is repentance that has to take place. Well, then we have that growth process that must take place thereafter as we grow in our hearts which is the source of what we are, who we are, and the things that we do. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Actually, we'll look at 3 through 8, as this, again, is describing our conversion to Christ, how we become a Christian. But he's also, this can also help us to see the different parts of the inner man and what God's purpose is for us. Romans chapter 6, 3 through 8. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. So there we see the conversion that we have to Christ described there as the crucifixion of the old man, that body of sin, that has to be destroyed. All those former things, that has to be brought to an end by putting that old man to death, crucified with Christ. And when we're dead, then we're to be buried as he was buried, buried with him in baptism, so we can then walk in newness of life. But he's describing that crucifixion of the old man there, and he says that he that is dead is freed from sin. All right, well, we see that statement when we are dead, when that old man is crucified, we're freed from sin. But in what part of our inner man are we freed from sin at that beginning point when we become a Christian? Well, that's when we have a new mind, a new will to do the Lord's will, and that old man with the old will by which the flesh followed according to the heart, but that will was to do our own will. That has to end. We have to put to death that old man on the cross. But then we're freed from sin. Well, we are freed in our minds at that point. But does that mean that we are actually in our deeds, with our words and in our thoughts, doing all the will of God right there from day one that we become a Christian? No, we're not. We still have a problem because we still have a lot of weakness in our hearts that need things that need to be purged out there so we can be formed in the image of Christ. What if we stay a spiritual babe where we have our will set to do the Lord's will, but we have a lot of weakness in our heart and evil things in our hearts that cause us to do evil things? If we stay like that, we're not going to be accomplishing the will of God like we should. How much glory are we going to be bringing to him in that state? Well, not much, not like we should. As long as we are committing sin, we are the slave of sin. John 8, let's read verses 31 to 36. John chapter 8, 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Well, to be his disciple, we need to be made free. Now, we already read in Romans 6, as far as our mind is concerned, when that old man is crucified, he said, when we are dead, then we are freed from sin. And he's going to be willing to forgive us our sins at that point, but do we still have growth that needs to take place in our hearts? Yes. And as long as our flesh is committing sin because of that, what's in the heart, when we commit sin, what are we? What does he say there in verse 34? Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Now that is a very comprehensive, a blanket statement. Whosoever, that includes anybody and everybody, commits sin is the slave of sin. That Greek word doulos is the word for slave. If we commit sin, we're the slave of sin. Is that true if we're a Christian? If we're a Christian committing sin, what are we? I mean, he's telling us very clearly there, in order to be his disciple indeed, we have to continue in his word. And by continuing in his word, we will be That truth will set us free. Well, the only way we can be free from sin is to what? To stop doing it. Well, the only way to stop doing it is to grow spiritually, because it's our hearts that cause us to, and our cause our flesh to commit sin. Mark chapter 7, let's look at the teachings of Christ on that point. Here verses 20 through 23. Mark chapter 7, 20 through 23. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So what part of our inner man is the source of all those evil things that we may do? Well, it comes from the heart. So we have to have a will to do God's will, but, and that's the change of mind, that's repentance. But that doesn't instantly change what's in our heart. That's a growth process. It takes time, and it takes diligence and effort to do so. But the Lord is describing there for us where our problem is. It's in the heart. That's what will defile us before God. If we're committing sin, why are we committing sin? If we're doing something, or if we say something, or if we ever do something, and then we're wondering, where did that come from? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Well, there's the answer. It's because we got a problem in the heart. Something needs to be worked on. Is sin a symptom of a problem in the inner man? It is. When we commit sin, that's a symptom of evil that's in our spiritual hearts. So if we want to actually fix that problem, and does anybody want to go to a doctor when they got some kind of ailment and have the doctor only treat the symptom? Or do you want your doctor to actually understand what's producing those symptoms and actually address the problem that's underneath it all and try to fix that? We want to be cured of whatever that ailment is so that we don't have those symptoms anymore. Isn't that right? Well, that's physically what we'd like to have happen. Well, what is the Lord? What would He like to have happen with our inner man? He wants those things that are in our inner man that are causing us to sin to be purged out. So He wants us to grow in our inner man. So we need to put on Christ then, and put on the new man, and put off the old man with his deeds in order for that to happen. Let's look at several passages where He makes that contrast between the old and the new, and so we can see in the general sense what our task is for us to put away those things, to purge out of our hearts those things that previously have caused us to fall into sin. That's where the work needs to take place. We need to have our hearts purified by faith. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. Acts 15, 9. He says, "And put no difference between us and them," that is between Jew and Gentile. God has the same purpose for all Christians, Jew and Gentile. He says, purifying their hearts by faith. So there's God's work that He's trying to do in us. That's His purpose, to purify. And that word means to purge or cleanse. He's wanting to purge out of our hearts those things that Jesus described in Mark 7 that we just read, the things that defile us, because those are the things in our hearts that cause us to sin. So if we purge those things out, well, we're going to be getting rid of the things that are causing our problem with sin. And if those things are out and we're formed in the parts of God's love of His nature, well, then we're going to be growing spiritually, and are we going to do better then in our fight against sin? Well, if what causes the sin is removed, and in its place, if we are formed in the nature of God, in the love of God, well, then yes, we're going to do much better in battling against temptation. That's what the purpose is. And so God is trying to purify our hearts. And He says, by faith, and that's what comes by hearing from God's word, Romans 10, 17. So we have to know the Word of God. We have to diligently seek that and then keep that Word. 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 tells us what will be the result if we hear God's Word, believe it, and then keep that Word. Well, here's the purpose that God has in purifying our hearts that will be achieved then. 1 John 2, 5 and 6 says, "But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked." We need to walk in the steps of Christ. We need to keep His Word. And if we do, if we keep that Word that we've heard, that we have faith in, and that is a living faith, when our faith is put into practice and keeping His Word, obeying Him, then God's work is going to be to perfect His love in us. Well, what's the difference between Him purifying our hearts by faith and perfecting His love in us? Well, as part of that same process, he's got to purge out the evil and he's got to form us in the good. So Acts 15:9 that we looked at was really looking at what's got to be removed, that those evil things in our heart that caused us to sin. Well, here in 1 John 2 and verse 5, we're seeing the things that need to be formed in our hearts that will enable us to accomplish the will of God. And that is the parts of God's love. That's why he says that his love is to be completed in us, not just to have a little bit of it, but all of it. That's our purpose. So we have to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man that's in the image of Christ. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26, that sets this up as a contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is Galatians 5, 19 to 26. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now we read many of those things. That sounds very similar to what we were just reading a while ago in Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. The list is very similar. Many of those things are in both places. Well, in Mark 7, what did Jesus say was the source of those things? He says it's from the heart of man that proceeds forth those things. Well, here he says these are the works of the flesh. So the flesh is following what's in our hearts. That's what will defile us. And he says those things are the things that will prevent us from inheriting the kingdom of God. As we continue further here in Galatians 5, verse 21, he says, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what if we're a Christian? What if we're doing those things as a Christian? Aren't we just going to be forgiven of those things and it won't matter? That's not what he says. We will be forgiven of those things if we repent, but if we continue to do them, whosoever commits sin is the what? The slave of sin. So if we continue to do those things, And the servant abides not in the house forever. Do we want to be in his house, in his dwelling place forever? Well, the only way to do that is for us to have those things purged out of our hearts so that we're no longer doing those things that we were doing before, committing those works of the flesh. So we need to stop those things. We have to put off the old man with his deeds, these works of the flesh. And instead, if we just purge out the evil, then what have we got? Then we got a big nothing left over, don't we? He doesn't want it. Well, would being a nothing be better than being a negative and being full of the works of the flesh and those wicked things that will defile us before God? I mean, that's part of the process. But simultaneously, we need to also be growing in the things that he describes here as the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, we see what not to do, and we see what we should do. Well, he's describing the parts of the nature of God right there, many of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The Lord is all those things. Which of those things can we be lacking in and be like him? None of them. We have to have all of those things. And if we have all of those things and none of those things that he described as the works of the flesh, if we have all those evil things purged out, and we have every one of those things that are part of the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God formed in our hearts, then spiritually, what are we? That's what being complete is. Ephesians chapter 4, if we can turn there and start in verse 11 of Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, we can see what God's purpose is there and what we're to be built up in. Every one of us needs to be built up in his love, to have all those parts of what is the image of Christ, and to have purged out from us all those things that are not God's love, according to it, those works of the flesh. until we all come to that unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to that complete man that he describes there in verse 13, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. There's our purpose, that we're all trying to edify, build each other up in God's love so that we can all be that. Well, for that to happen then, we have to put off the old man. As he if we go down to verse 22, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And I just lost my place there. Okay, verse 24 or verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking but be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So there he shows us what is the old man versus what is the new man. To put off the old man, to put on that new man. Well, the old man, those are the works of the flesh. Those are the things that will defile us before God, those evil things in our heart that we need to purge out. And in its place, we need to put on all those things that he describes there as the new man that's in the image of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, and this will be our last passage for tonight. But in Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verses 5 through 14. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And he wants us to be perfect, complete in his love, in the image of Christ, having all the parts of his love in us, and having purged out all the things that are not his love, as he described it in detail there. Well, as we've seen in several of those passages, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, that make such a contrast between what we're to put off and what we're to put on, that's where we then have the task ahead of us to go in, dig into the details, to try to understand those parts of God's nature that we need to have in us, what we need to grow in, as we see what we also need to put off. So that will be what we're going to attempt to do, Lord willing, over the next few Sunday nights. Next several of those is to go into some detail in studying about these things that are the different parts of the love of God that we need to have in us in order for us to grow in Him so we can glorify Him more by fulfilling His purpose. If you've not yet become a Christian and you're here tonight in need of obedience to the gospel of Christ, this is an opportunity for you to do that. And we've seen tonight those things that you have to do in putting off the old man, that is crucifying the old man with Christ so you can be buried with him in baptism and walk then in newness of life, to be born of water and of the Spirit. You can't grow up in him. You can't go on to perfection if you haven't started the race. You can't finish what you haven't started. So if you need to start the race tonight, you need to become a child of God. You need to be born again. And that's by obeying his gospel, as we've seen described in those scriptures tonight. We're ready to assist you in being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, if that's your need tonight. If you are a Christian, if you need to repent so you can come back to him and run the race that is set before you, so you can glorify him and be prepared to spend your eternity with him, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight, please come right now while we stand together and sing.